What's up, everybody? Topher Welsh here with the Glitch Podcast with my brilliant co-host,
Eugene Kappen.
And we are graced, we have our presence graced by the awesome
Skylar
from Influence Media. How's it going, man?
I'm doing amazing. How are you guys?
Pretty good. Oh,
it's the day is getting long. The day is getting long. We produced a lot of content today.
Oh man, you guys are killing it.
I'm tired.
Yeah, we're going for our 100 pieces of content in 4 days.
Holy cow, man. That is a lot of content, but I love it.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, it's only 25 pieces per day, but dude, when you think about some of the people that are doing this, like 100 pieces of content per day and more than that.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. It's like, I don't understand how you can do it without like an entire team behind you. This is ridiculous.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. That's a lot of content. Yeah.
Do you do, how much content do you produce on a daily basis?
So that's actually, I feel like I'm kind of cheating the system here and I'm about to blow your guys' minds because I manage 9 social media accounts daily, not including my own. And so I post to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes YouTube daily for all of those platforms. So I'm putting out, what's the numbers on that? 4 times 9, carry the 7.
4 times.
What, 36? Something else. Like 36 to 40 pieces of content a day.
And that's your full-time job?
Yeah, and that's my full-time job. So I do a lot of content posting, I guess. So,
Eugene, what have we gotten ourselves into?
A really good boost, I guess.
Yeah. We're just hoping for the best at this point.
Oh man, it's so important.
I think we're gonna do very well with it, though.
Yeah, it's definitely a worthwhile challenge that I think a lot of people dream of, like, that'd be really cool to try, but no one really wants to take the leap because they don't want to punch themselves in the face making all this, you know?
And it's so much time. It's so much time to, like, sit down. I mean, like, I'm lucky that it's, like, it's my full-time job, you know? Like, I have to do that. But for people who it's not their full-time job, like, it's a lot of dedication, like, to sit down and, like, make sure to create 100 pieces of content, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
So... For the people who don't know who you are, why don't you give us, besides, like, obviously you do these Facebook pages, but what is Influence Media? Who are you? What are you known for?
Yeah, okay. So Influence Media is a production company. It's a production company I started actually just this year. And essentially what we try to do is we do a lot of social media managing, a lot of marketing, but that's actually not really our main focus. Our main focus is video production. So we do music videos, commercials, promos. I do like car videography and stuff like that for like cool car promo stuff. So we do just about everything video related. So yeah, that's pretty much essentially what we're kind of known for. I've been doing it professionally for the last 4 years, unprofessionally like twice that. I mean, right. Long time.
Ever since you could hold a video camera
Yeah, pretty much. when I was a kid.
What are some of your most recent projects?
Recently, I just got done shooting 2 music videos for Billy the Fridge, which were super awesome. I love doing that.
Fun fact, I'm actually in one of those.
Yes, that is fun fact. Eugene plays Batman. In one of the music videos.
In the Feels Batman music video?
In the Feels Batman music video.
I didn't realize you shot that.
Yeah, I shot that music video.
That's awesome. I was watching that the other night, actually.
Yeah, dude, it was seriously so much fun to film. I loved it. Eugene is a natural Batman actor, for sure, in case you guys are all wondering. So I filmed those. I recently filmed some short little skits, comedy stuff with Onision and Eugene and Billy and goodness gracious. There was,
were you the guy that filmed at the cabin?
Yes. I don't know that I would take credit fully for that. You know, I made sure to.
I would say yeah. You filmed it, but you didn't direct it.
Yes, exactly.
Do you have a license to shoot porn? Or
listen, it's so funny because, little side note, my mom is a pastor, right? Yeah, no, seriously. I'm talking like she has a church, okay? So when we filmed this, like immediately, as soon as it started getting into like the weird nonsense of like Billy and porn and like things that I'll never unsee, I'm like in the back of my head, oh my God, I'm going to get disowned. Like if my mom ever figures out that I was associated with this, it's over, you know? So, yeah, I filmed it, not taking credit for it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, those things God. Can, and then meanwhile you got, Eugene just is like, hey, I'm going to star in this. Let's hike our pants.
Actually, during all of the, naked bits, I was actually taking a nap in my car outside.
This is actually very true.
So I wasn't even there for that. My character had already died, and I had a very late night before. So,
well, let's not ignore the fact that it was like a 13 and a half year drive out there, so I'd probably be tired as well.
Man, I warned everybody. Like I told everybody, I was like, it's 40 minutes from Marysville, which is already way out there for everybody.
Yeah, it's a 3-hour drive from me, by the way.
It reminded me of the Evil Dead house.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I can see the resemblance. Man. Yeah. Cabin in the Woods.
I definitely think this one had more flat screens than
that. I will give you that. Yeah.
Than the Evil Dead house. Awesome. So what has been like probably your favorite project to film or be a part of?
Oh man, that's tough.
Like when people go, hey, what have you done? Your first response is to go, hey, this is, you know, what I'm known for.
Have you seen this viral video? Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, I think some of the biggest, like the funnest videos I've ever got to do, are with Billy. I've done other stuff in the past that are like have definitely gotten like bigger numbers or been bigger productions and stuff like that, which I think has its own cool factor in it when, you know, there's 10 people on set and you're able to do this crazy big production and, you know, or you're sitting at home and, you know, for instance, I've done a lot of commercials for the West Hills Auto Group. So being able to sit at home and see the commercials that I produced on TV, which are so cool, you know, but filming with Billy, I think, is probably my favorite just because it's always really fun. He's a super goofy guy, and usually it's very run and gun. So, like, for instance, the Feels Batman music video, there was actually no script whatsoever for that. We didn't know, like, when we went to Funko and stuff, we didn't know how long we were going to be able to be in there, if at all. So it was like, what can we get while we're in here, you know? And then we're filming with Onision and Eugene and the Batman and Joker and stuff like that. And we didn't really, it was just kind of like, hey, let's do fun stuff and run through his lines a couple times, you know? And it was like that the entire time. So it's just because I think it's stepping out of the norm and being able to do something you don't normally get to do. And you kind of get put in an atmosphere that's like not your realm is what made it so fun. And the people that I got to work with, it was so fun. So I'd say that that's probably like my best experience, and my go-to fun stuff, you know?
Like filming on top of that parking garage was super funny to me, just because the whole time we were there, I was like, when are we going to get kicked out? And then it took like 4 hours for somebody to actually notice that we were filming on the top of this parking garage.
Hey, you guys do anything over there? Oh, you're not? Oh, you're just dressed in, you guys are doing cosplay?
One of the big things that happened was we were filming inside of the parking garage's elevator. And so the doors would start shutting on us. We'd, you know, hit the open button. And I missed it.
going down.
And it just happened to go to the very bottom level where there was like 10 people trying to get in the elevator, and I'm dressed in this like Batman costume.
You're like,
you don't understand the faces that he got, okay? Like, people were definitely like, what on earth is Batman doing in my elevator right now? And it's actually funny because Eugene, I don't know if you ever saw the behind the scenes video that I produced, kind of like putting little, you know, tidbits and snippets of behind the scenes, but I actually caught the security guard coming up and saying, hey, you guys doing all right up here? Like, I caught him coming up there like, hey, what are you guys doing?
Oh, God, that's really funny.
Yeah, so it's in there.
What sort of content is your favorite to produce? Is it just, like, music videos? Is it, like, car stuff? Do you want to produce bigger things down the road? Maybe, like, small features or indie films?
Yeah, so I would say, you know... These are such trick questions here because, like, I just love honestly filming anything. Like, I love just making something look really cool. So I will say that I'm not super big into narrative. I mean, everything is narrative if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of it, right? Like, even if you do a car video, there's no, you know, lines. There's no whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's still narrative. You're telling a story of the event. You're telling the story of this car. You know, like, there's always kind of storytelling. But I don't like doing, like, indie films. I've done some short films in the past. I've actually written a couple short films. And I just didn't find it as fun. It's got too many rules, you know, like, oh, you have to do this, and, you know, you got to do this kind of an angle. And I'm like, eh, whatever. I don't even care about that. Let me film in a Funko museum, you know?
Right.
So I would say honestly, music videos are my favorite thing to make, just because I feel like I have all creative control. And it's long enough to have, like, a cool story, but, like, not so long that, like, I got to think hard about, well, what should happen next? And, you know, and I feel like I've had the craziest experiences when filming music videos over filming, like, narratives. So I'd say music videos.
How long does it take you to crank out, like, a music video? So say, like, from kind of planning it out, like, rough plan it out to shooting to editing. Like, what's your turn time on something like that?
So I think that it depends on the music video, you know, and, like, mm-hmm. what kind of goes into it and location, blah, blah, blah. So, like, for instance, prime example of this. So Billy's Feels Batman took 4 days of shooting, and it took like practically no pre-production time because mm-hmm. there was no script or anything. It was just kind of like get an idea of how we wanted it to be done. And then I always say that it takes me 2 weeks to edit a music video. Usually I can get it done in a week, but just because normally I'm not only working on one production at a time, one video at a time, I always say 2 weeks just in case something gets backed up or, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I give myself some leeway. So I say from the time that it's done being shot to ready for a release, I say 2 weeks. But every music video is different. With like Rockstar, it was like a day of filming and that was it.
So, like, I've been noticing a lot with, like, the music industry, and this actually comes back to another thing I heard Gary Vaynerchuk talk about on his podcast, is how the music scene has changed so much where, like, you're allowed to release a single, like, every week if you want, or you could have music video every week or every 3 days. And instead of you being, like, a musical artist that only drops a music video when he drops a single, which means he dropped an album, you just release music video upon music video upon music video on all this stuff. And you are just a YouTuber that's a badass music video producer.
Dude, seriously.
I love it. And it makes this stuff so much more accessible to the masses. And it's just content creation on steroids. And coming back to, like, what we're doing here, you know, it's like, it's fascinating when I meet people that make music videos and are involved with the music scene. I always like to get their take on that because it's just a crazy fast world we're in now versus, like, what it was only like 10 years ago, you know?
Oh, seriously. Yeah. It's actually funny that you bring that up because I just was speaking with an artist, Jesse James, and I asked him, hey man, you know, what's your plans as far as an album You know, like, are you going to be releasing an album? Or are you just trying to do, you know, we have a music video coming up for him. And I was like, what's your goals with this? Are you about to release something more? You know, what's your plans? And he was like, no, I'm not looking to release an album anytime soon right now. And I was like, really? I was like, tell me about it. He's like, no, not at all. Nobody is. I mean, nowadays, you know, you used to be able to release an album and there's 21 songs on this thing. Now people are dropping albums and they're like 10 songs and they're doing a music video for every, I mean, it's essentially like a 10 singles is really what it is. You know, they're filming a music video for every single song. And now music videos have become so powerful, such money makers that like every song's a music video. And some of the people, like the biggest, greatest musicians and artists in the industry, their like entire careers got started with music videos. I mean, you look at Macklemore and Thrift Shop and all these, I mean, these are just huge staples, you know. Justin Bieber was found on YouTube, you know, like, so like now that YouTube and music videos have become such a thing, like I'm surprised more artists are not actually dumping more money into music videos, you know, or investing in better quality music videos, because that's really where it is, in my opinion.
I think it's crazy. It's kind of going to the realm of like the music video is getting mixed with the vlog, and then the vlog becomes like their main outreach into like to their fans and stuff. I don't know. It's just it's a really crazy, fast paced world we're really in now versus like, you know, like I said, like when I was in high school, like you just
back
like,
in my day,
we didn't have Spotify yet. Well, yeah, we didn't have Spotify. We didn't have YouTube. We definitely didn't have YouTube Music. Like,
oh yeah, Pandora.
Man, it's just it's nuts. The accessibility to music, and like, there's so much more getting created and there's so much more to listen to now. And I don't know. It's a really cool time for music creators, honestly.
I wish our video habits now are what we had back when YouTube first started.
Can you imagine how hard we would have dominated if back... When did YouTube launch? 2010?
I think it was 2008.
Eight? Like 2008. Like I remember getting my YouTube account when it first came out and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I entered one of the first contests on YouTube, and it was a Best Buy show us your college dorm contest and we're gonna give you like $15,000, and I made a Cribs episode from MTV Cribs, and I got featured on the featured listings on the front page of YouTube. I was like,
that's amazing.
God, I've made it. And then
nothing happened.
I lost a Mystery Guitar Man.
Oh, that wow.
But to be fair, I mean, you lost a Mystery Guitar Man.
Yeah, Joe Pena, you deserve that, man.
Yeah.
Your first vlog, his photo log, I think it was what it was, or something like that.
Vlog? I didn't even know
that was
a thing.
It was a vlog, but instead of a V, it was photos. And what he did is he took a video of himself, and then he took it frame by frame and took an actual photo for every frame with the same exact facial expression, and then he put him into stop motion 30 frames a second and had an entire video blog made up of nothing but pictures.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, I'm already like, he deserves it. That's so
exactly
much work.
I was like,
you win.
You take that one
you
from
take
me.
It. And you won with you it. Were a winner.
He is much more successful on YouTube than I have ever been. So
he said that I was. No, just ever.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So do you have any crazy stories that come from filming?
Oh, man. I'm seriously so glad that you asked that. So this literally just happened on Saturday. So, like, this is fresh, hot off the press.
Is it steamy?
It's steamy. It is okay, cool. Hot, juicy, steamy.
It's
goodness.
Like, after you stab a guy in the middle of winter and it looks like his soul is escaping from his chest.
Jesus Christ, that's Eugene. Where you went, I was talking about poop. You're talking about murder.
Oh, I was thinking about like hot pancakes or something. Buttery goodness.
Oh,
what on earth? Y'all need Jesus in your life. Goodness gracious.
Lord, help us.
Anyways.
Fun fact, that's a line from Wayne's World I just used.
Oh.
Really? Okay,
yeah,
well,
O'Neill says
I guess that would be totally relevant if we watched Wayne's World in 2018.
Fucking Bush, right? Am I right?
It's a famous meme.
Anyways.
Stories.
Crazy stories. So the premise of our music video that I was doing was that this artist was going to be walking down an alley, and there was going to be these crazy whip cuts where, like, I was going to whip to the top of the building, and he's standing at the top of the building, and then he's whipping to, like, a fire escape, and he's, like, throwing water while wrapping his lines in the fire escape, and essentially he's just, like, teleporting all over the place in this alley, right? And it was super dope idea. I was like, sick. And he's like, good news. I got a place. Like, I know this place that we could shoot. It's going to be great. And I'm like, oh, sick. Let's do it. And so we get to Tacoma, to downtown Tacoma, down by the pier. Or the, is it the pier? The port? The ghetto part where there's lots of ships. I don't know.
That's the port.
The port. Okay.
That is definitely the port.
Yeah. Well, we get down there, and, like, it is ridiculously sketchy, and there's, like, gangs, dude. I kid you not.
Gangs at the port?
Dude, it was nuts. So we show up.
Are they pirates?
It would have been 10 times cooler if they were pirates and not sketchy-looking thugs. I might have got down with some pirates' booty, not with gangs. Like, I just don't. Like,
no gang booty?
I wish you could see me right now, like, in what I look like, because I look like I look like the guy that you would rob, you know? Like, I look like that guy. Like, imagine the guy that you
give me
rob,
your lunch money, punk.
I don't know. Yeah, you're no, like seriously. I mean, you're definitely very much like a nerdy guy, but you're like a bigger guy with tattoos. So I think people would be like kind of scared of you.
But here's the catch, though, right? Like, you cover up my tattoos, like, you cover up the sleeves, and I look like a big teddy bear. That's the problem. Eugene, okay? Like, I look like the guy that you would rob. Like, give me your lunch money, scream uncle, you know? That's my problem. And so when we got there, it's literally just me and the artist and a car full of equipment. And we pull up, and there's just, like guys that look like they're ready to, like, literally jack my
car.
Pop
trunks.
Literally. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh. And he looks at me, and he's like, hey, Skyler. And I'm like, yeah, bro, what's up? He's like, I'm not really feeling this. I don't know about you, but like, I can't go to jail again. And I'm like, what?
Again?
I'm out. Like, I quit. This is it. I'm on. I'm done. And so we had to leave. And so I'm like, dude. And for me to drive out there, it's about an hour drive from my house. And so I'm like, dude. And we had spent like a lot of time talking about this, and I'd already written the script and everything. And so we searched around Tacoma, looking for somewhere else to shoot, because we didn't want it to be like a complete waste. We didn't want, like, I didn't want to drive out there and get nothing done. And so we're like, all right, listen, let's go driving around. And so we ended up getting hungry and stopping at a McDonald's while we're thinking. And as we stop at this McDonald's, there's like hobos legitimately fighting. Like, I kid you not. I'm like, this was like a third world country, dude. I'm like, this isn't Tacoma. This is like Decompton. I was just appalled, dude. And I just couldn't even believe it. And, like, after the hobos were done fighting, we realized that, like, there's rats literally running around this McDonald's parking lot and stuff. And I'm, like, eating a quarter pounder. And it just, all I can think about is, like, little nibbles out of my bun from the rats, dude. Dude, it was probably the most stressful night.
Oh,
and, like,
God.
Like, the entire way home after, like, and mind you, we shot nothing. Like, we were like, well, I guess, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's just that. I dropped him back off at his car and, like, called it good. And I drove home. But that entire way home, in my head, I'm like, is this where I want to be in life? You know, like, fighting off gangs and rats and hobos. Like, is this moment? You know, so that was probably one of my craziest experiences ever filming a music video. I mean, it's up there. I mean, there's been lots of others, but.
I do love that you mentioned that McDonald's. However, I live in Tacoma, and I was there 3 days ago. And now I feel gross and disgusting. Like, I have to
you should.
Kid, so.
You let me explain something to you. You should. It was foul. There was just rats and hobos, and their speaker didn't even work. I had to repeat my order 4 times. And it was
well,
bad.
You're lucky you didn't get shanked. I mean, that McDonald's is literally right next to the jail.
It is right next to the jail. Yeah, actually, the artist was like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where you are. I got locked up there. And I'm like, I feel great riding around in the front seat.
I feel like
Dude, seriously, let me explain something to you. Like, sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, you know? And, like, that's just the epitome of me at times, because I'm like, here, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that time I got locked up in Azkaban, you know? Like, just got to relate somehow, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
Yeah, I did a hard time. Watch out.
Me and the Malfoys.
Yeah, me and the Malfoys.
Dude, I actually have a really funny gang story too, but it's a little it was scary at first, but it turned into something really good. And it does have to deal with Harry Potter, actually, as well.
Oh, I'm intrigued already.
This happened in Puyallup, of all places.
That's nicer than Tacoma.
It's a quaint version of Tacoma. But it was the eve of the Harry Potter release of the sixth book.
Which one is that? You're going to have to help me out. I'm not a Harry Potter nerd.
Half-Blood Prince.
Okay.
So we were outside, and I had the brilliant idea when I was 19 that I'm going to stay the night outside Borders and be first in line for this Harry Potter book.
Wow.
36 hours.
Whoa.
So me and my girlfriend at the time and my two brothers, we bring our skateboards, a tent, some food, and there's this other group of girls that got there like 15 minutes after us. So 36 hours and 15 minutes, or 35 hours and 45 minutes before the book release. We were 36 hours before. But we were hanging out for the entire evening, and come about 1 o'clock in the morning, we hear these whoop, 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 whoop.
Freaking, I don't know if you're saying gang. Dude. I didn't know if those were cop sirens or gang noises. I
thought those were like cop juggalos.
5-0 cop juggalos.
Juggalos came out of the shadows, and they came out. They had faces painted. They had an axe, bro. I'm not joking.
An axe.
I don't know if you're down with that dark carnival shit.
Well, see
what
crazy part gets in. So they go by us, and they're pretty cool. They're like, hey, what's up, guys? Waiting for some Harry Potter. Yeah, you know, let us know if you need anything. And they, like, go off and everything. And then some hobo probably wandered in from Tacoma.
He
wandered over to us. He just started, like, talking crap and trying to, like, start some fights and stuff with me and my brothers. And the juggalos came out of nowhere. They're like, yo, you hassling these guys? You hassling these guys? And then they're like, got all up in his face, and they chased him off. It was a wow. Magical.
The juggalos turned out to be your homies.
I'm not a big fan of the juggalo lifestyle, but hey, in that instance, those are my boys.
They had your back.
They're all about love.
See, I didn't know the carnival juggalos were even about a thing love. Still. Like, I thought they died with, like, ICP. Is ICP?
ICP's
still
around, man.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No,
yeah, Shaq,
no.
Dope was just like a month ago, bro.
Wasn't Shaggy Too Dope like in the news because he like ran onto stage and tried to kick Fred Durst in the face?
No, not only that's kick, nice. He tried to drop kick Fred Durst and missed on stage.
Speaking of drop kicking juggalos, I've only seen one juggalo in my life, and it was a kid in high school, and he called himself Juggalo Jeff. And
you guys called him idiot.
Pretty much. I was like, look at this weirdo. And he'd come to school looking like a juggalo and stuff like that. And he was one of those guys that, like, changed his Facebook name to Juggalo Jeff, you know? And, like, in parentheses, it had his real name, like, Jeff Wolfenstein or whatever stupid. I don't even know what his last name was. I made that up. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember he would always pick fights with people that he couldn't, like back up. And I remember one time he picked a fight with the wrong kid. And this kid dropped him. I'm talking like turned him into pasta in the lunchroom, dude. Like just right in his noodle, and he just dropped. And then I was like, oh well, there goes Juggalo Jeff. That legacy's over.
Juggalo Jeff, some Juggalo Jesus, bro.
Dude, he turned into like Juggalo Jello. You know, like that was the end of Juggalo Jeff, man.
Was he doing that Anderson Silva like leg little jiggle?
No, his face was doing that. Like,
oh,
wasn't even his leg.
Oh, I thought you were saying he knocked him in the temple and he just like he leg jiggled and just fizzled out.
Oh yeah, no, he did. Yeah, no. He took a nap in the lunchroom. Like he was out. It was just that. And we all were like, oh,
someone get this boy.
Get this man some milk. He needs some milk. Yeah, and that was it. That was
Man, this kid got a knuckle sandwich. Wash it down with some Faygo.
Dude, so I'm like thinking about this, and I'm like, I think he actually transferred schools because I don't even remember him after that. I'm like, maybe he just was like, oh, crap, my juggalo reputation's over. I gotta take this somewhere else. You know, and like that was it. So I wonder, now I'm like, I wonder how Juggalo Jeff's doing. I should look him up or something.
I really want to like Facebook Juggalo Jeff right now. I'm literally going to go here right now and we're going to do some Facebook. We're going to look for Juggalo Jeff. And if his name is Jeff Wolfenstein,
I can't remember. I'm like, what was his last name? I don't remember his last name.
Let's see. Juggalo Jeff. Oh, Juggalo Jeff White.
Maybe that's where I got the W.
There's a Jeff Flint, Juggalo Jeff.
Juggalo Jeff White looks like he's 12 and an airline, like aspiring airline pilot.
He looks like a stand-in for Andy Milonakis.
Oh, see, that's funny because I'm like, that's what he did look like. It's kind of funny because I feel like if he didn't dress like a juggalo, he'd look like a normal person, like he played on the football team or something. But like he just took that. Yeah, like one extra step into the weird zone, you know?
Oh man, Juggalo Jeff Flint does not look like a clown you want to meet in a dark alleyway. I don't like his eyebrows.
I don't like his eyebrows.
They're so high and pointy.
He's surprised at all times.
Come on. What'd you say?
Huh? Everything's a question.
That's why no one likes him. They always just look like they're about to rush him. This guy's looking at me funny. Right on, man. Well, I think we're coming about on our time. It's been great talking to you, man. You do a lot of really cool stuff, and it's been a delight, my friend.
Oh, I assure you that the pleasure is genuinely and truly mine for talking to you guys. So,
why don't you tell the people where they can find you on the interwebs?
Oh, yes. So you can find us at on Facebook, Influence Media, on Instagram, influence.visuals, Twitter, Influencedia. Yeah, man, that's our social media platforms. Connect with us. Yeah, just say what's up. Drop us a line. Something, man.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, signing off for the Glitch Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Topher Welsh.
I'm Eugene Kappen.
And I'm Skyler of Influence Media.
And we'll see you next time, guys. See you later.